Faith in Service, what an incredible initiative it is by Notolo Buthelezi, 23-year-old Notolo, who has joined us today. She's a psychology graduate from Tux and currently completing her postgraduate studies at UNISA. Notolo, welcome and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's lovely, lovely to have you on the show. So let's go, before we go to faith in service, you know, it takes a particular kind of person who wants to study psychology, right? It's not for everyone. So let's go back a little bit, Ntolo. Is it something that you always wanted to do? Did you have this leaning growing up?
I think it was an on and off. Growing up, I think it's typical for everyone to want to be a doctor because it's what we're mostly like exposed to, I guess. But as I've grown and realized that there are so many people who need help, but in different areas, because also as I grew up, I realized that I'm actually scared of injections and blood and all the things. So psychology was like a plan B, but as I grew up, it made more sense to be my plan A.
And you went along and you studied at Tux, and it's not easy to pursue, you know, the studies in psychology. What did you, I mean, I read that you were quite a shy person growing up. So what kind of changed for you in studying psychology?
I was very shy. I was an introvert, always back of the class, quiet, if I'm not giggling with my friends in class. But I think it changed when I realized that opportunities are given to people that are most confident, even if they are the least capable. So your confidence could grant you opportunities that you don't even need basic qualifications for. So as I've grown up, I realized that I actually need to lock in, as the 2Ks would say. I had to lock in and do away with being shy because it had no benefits whatsoever.
Yeah, I love that. It's one thing deciding, you know, and then it's one thing going out there and doing it. And so talking about being a shy person and then doing something that's so bold in serving people in marginalized communities is pretty amazing. So if you could just share with our audience what it was that led you to start restoring dignity and faith to marginalized communities.
Okay, so firstly, just to put it out there, I am a believer, so I'm Christian. And this was basically the core drive for this entire thing that I decided to do. I knew that I'd get into doing NGOs, but I didn't think it would be this soon. I thought I'd have to be well established to get a start, you know, have my own income before I can give to other people. And then earlier this year, I think it was after my second fast of the year, when I had a revelation, I guess, from Christ, where he basically commanded me to do it. He basically commanded me to do it at that specific time. I didn't know how I would have done it. I didn't know with what resources, because I'm still a student. Like, I don't have the knowledge and all of these things. I haven't been doing my research and all the things. But he revealed it to me. This is cliche, but he revealed it to me in a dream, basically, because I was panicking. And I was like, dude, like, you're telling me to start this thing and I don't know how to. I don't have resources. I barely know any people that could help me with this. So what's your plan? And he basically revealed it to me and he told me how to go about it. And luckily at that point in time, I had so many people to support me and to support and provide resources for the brand, I guess, or for the movement rather.
Wow. Okay. So tell us a little bit more. So this is faith in service. So you say you've got a higher calling. You always thought this would be something you were going to do in your life, but you certainly didn't think it was going to happen so soon. But yeah, you were called to do it. And so faith in service, what is it? So you go, are you working with homeless people? And how are you working with them?
Okay, so initially we're working with marginalized communities. So where there's lack, that's where we fill in the gap. It's just in the beginning, we focused mainly on the homeless people because they're easily accessible compared to other marginalized communities. We do intend on touching schools that lack resources. We do intend on touching old age homes, homes that speak, that focus rather on the people with intellectual disabilities or whatever disability they may be, actually. We're focusing on people that have, who feel or may feel that they're not really recognized in the population. So that's what we're focusing on.
And what are you doing?
Okay, so the, I don't know, what term can I give it? The abstract meaning for faith and service is basically to instill faith in those that don't believe that there is a higher God. So through our services, we want people to know that there is God. He still cares for you regardless of the circumstances and the situations that you may be facing at this particular moment. Depending on who the marginalized community is at that specific tribe or organization for that time, we do different things. So the first one, we were giving out sandwiches and juice boxes. It was quite different from the second one because we had multiple groups from all around South Africa. We had a group in Randburg, Boksburg, Eastern Cape. We had one in Pretoria as well. And these were just groups of students, I guess, or teenagers as well, that I gave them an idea. I told them to also take it forth. And we're just handing out sandwiches and juice boxes, praying for those that needed prayer and instilling faith.
Wow, that's amazing. It just sounds like it's kind of unfolding as you go along. Are you finding that you are making a big impact, Ngolo?
I mean, I want to say yes, but what are like 50 people out of millions of people who are lacking, you know? But I see the change bit by bit because it's also changing other people's hearts and they're also taking initiative to do things like this. So I want to say yes, but I also want to say no because it's such a small group compared to the numbers in South Africa that are actually lacking.
But you stay motivated and keep going because I mean, you know, if it's the 50 that you impact, how many do they then impact, I suppose, in return? So balancing this faith in service with you doing your postgrad, how do you manage to balance all of it? Because, you know, going out, this is taking up a lot of your time, right?
Yes, of course. But also, I think it works for me because psychology is the study of humans. It is the study of human behaviors. It is establishing a lot of things within human beings. So studying is like the theory side of it, and then me doing this is like the practical side of it. I get to implement things that I've learned not only in theory but also with Jesus and my journey in faith and belief, and I'm able to implement it in other people. So it's basically a theory and practical balance, if I'm making sense.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, bringing your religion and then you've got, as you say, in the theory from the psychology, that must be quite an interesting merging, right? The religion and the psychology. Are you finding that you're able to add more because of your psychology training?
I do think so. I think I do have an upper hand because I do psychology.
Yeah.
I think I'm more understanding. I think I'm more understanding of circumstances and people in general that I do come across. So it's a win-win. It doesn't feel like a job to me when I do it. It doesn't necessarily feel like a job because it's something that I've desired for so long, you know.
And how, I mean, where to from here? How do you see it? Are you looking for more people to be helping you?
The plan is we're in the midst of implementing it as an NGO, like officially. And then we're also planning on having other groups of faith and service in different provinces. So I don't think we should only focus on people that are in Gauteng. I want to broaden our reach as well. So I would have to make or create groups in different provinces so there are other teams that are standing for the same goal that we have, just different people. So that is the plan, to expand, to grow more, to get God willing, to also get like funding and resources, so we're not solely dependent on donations, because that can be very limiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I must say, Noxolo, I think it's amazing what you're doing. I think that you are reaching out in the community and changing people's lives is wonderful. And imagine there were just thousands of you, how we could change South Africa and people around the world. So keep it up, and all the best with your post-grad studies. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. You know, just giving you bits of, I think what Noxolo said is pretty powerful, kind of what I took away from that, that sometimes we are waiting to do things great or to achieve things or experience things. Like we're waiting for that perfect moment. She was waiting until she had finished studying and when she had more resources or all of those other things. And then she was just driven to do it. And I suppose it's also a wonderful thing to think about for 2026. How often are we holding ourselves back? And sometimes we've just got to take the plunge. After all, the time is now. Now. Can we do it now?